19. Now, it's a quarter to 12, and I'll do my best to get you out at a decent time. I'll probably have you out before the evening news. But I think, the way this thing's going, that we might all be able to get some help from this morning. And if not, it will be me that missed the boat, not God. Because I think God gave me the right thing for this particular time. So if it falls flat, it's because of the messenger, not the message. You pray that God will have His way and His will in this service today. We'll, in the interest of time, look at verse number 9. 2 Samuel chapter 19. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. Now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?' And King David sent to Zadok and unto Abiathar the priest, saying, 'Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house, you're my brethren, you're my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king?'" In verse number 14, notice he says, "And he bowed the heart of the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, 'Return thou and all thy servants.' So the king returned." I'd like to give you this morning for just a little bit. Maybe you might title it, "When He Comes Back," or maybe "He's Coming Back," or "The King Has Returned," or "Why is it that we don't want the king to return?" But somewhere in there, you got to talk about the king is coming home. Father, we pray now, God, that your blessings would be upon the preaching. God, it has already been on the singing this morning. God, it's already been on the congregational singing and on the giving. God, it's already been on the testimony given by our brother. And God, it has been on these men that have poured out their heart and practiced and sung a song about your soon coming return. And God, we look forward to that. And God, it has now come time for us to hear from Thee, from your words. And God, we pray that you might hide us behind the cross of Calvary. And God, that you might make preaching easy. God, that you might give us liberty from the things that would so haunt us and cause us to shut our mouths. God, that you might allow us in the congregation for just a few moments to divorce ourselves from the things of the world, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the things that distract us. God, for a while, might we give you heart, body, mind, and soul, give you everything, God, to pay attention to what you have to say. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's a great passage here, and I don't have time to give you a lot of history, but let it suffice to say that these children of Israel had chosen, in the place of David the king, Absalom the king's son. And if you think about that, it kind of doesn't make a lot of sense, because David was the one who had delivered Israel from the giants. He had delivered Israel from the Philistines. He had delivered Israel from under the hand of Saul, which they chose. And then God anointed David. And I realize that David made some horrible mistakes and committed some sins. But nevertheless, he was a man after God's own heart. Which reminds me to say, some of you have a hard time serving God because you know of things that are in your past that may be brought up and used against you in the present. All that does is give you an opportunity to say, "Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And I'm sorry that you're offended by what I did. It was wrong and I shouldn't have done it. But nevertheless, I can't dwell in the past. I'm headed for the future." And David didn't quit being the king because of his mess. But nevertheless, when the children of Israel said, "You know what? Absalom's promised us a bunch of things the king can't give us. Let's just anoint Absalom." Notice this, first of all, in verse number 9, the people were at strife throughout the tribes of Israel. Sounds like the modern-day Baptist church. Amen. envy, strife, and division, carnality is rampant in our churches today. It's always about us instead of about Him. Somebody help me there this morning. It's too much about the people, the people, the people, the people, instead of about the person, Jesus Christ. And notice they forgot something, and all of a sudden they begin to remember, oh yeah, King David saved us out of the hands of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. Hadn't God done that for you? And isn't it funny that we've anointed another king over us? And I'd like to say that king is whoever we face in the mirror every day. I'd like to say that all of a sudden a king steps in to take the throne from the rightful king. And when that takes place, our king, just like David says, if you don't want me running the city, if you don't want me ruling in the city, you don't want me sitting on the throne, David says, I'll tell you what, I'm leaving in a dust cloud. I'm out of here. You can have Absalom. And that's what the Holy Ghost of God will do. If you grieve Him, if you vex Him, if you put Him down and say, I'm not interested, He's like a little dove. He'll say to you, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to force myself on you. What I'm going to do is I'll just fly away. Listen, if you're out of the will of God today, I'm here to tell you, you can get back in the will of God, and maybe if we get to the end of this thing today, you'll find out how to get back. If you're out without hope and without God and your life is falling apart and that thing's working together to get your attention to turn you toward the one that can save your soul and that can save you from a worse predicament than you're in right now. I don't care how bad your predicament is. I don't care if you've lost everything you got, lost your job, lost your house, lost your family, lost your wife, lost your kids, lost your car, lost your shirt and everything else you got. There's nothing in this world that is worse than going to hell and burning forever. So you're here today not by some strange thing taking place. God's got you here because He's got something through a donkey He wants you to hear this morning. Notice, if you will, please, first of all, come over to Luke chapter number 19. Now, I have to hurry through the setup of this thing, but I want to speak to you, first of all, about a rejected king. When the Lord first came the first time, the Bible says He came to His own in John chapter number 1, and His own received Him not. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Listen, just because He came the first time and He laid down in a manger and they wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and the angels said glory to God in the highest and the people rejected Him and they hung Him up on Calvary's cross and they crucified Him there, that Bible says that even though His own received Him not, to as many, that's anybody, that'll receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. They might have rejected Him, but don't let them make your decision this morning. There's no room for Him nowadays in our lives. And no room for God to crowd out all the stuff that's going on in the world today. No room for Him in our government, city or otherwise. No room for God in Washington. There's a lot of bumping their gums about saying, you know, and God be Trump, you know, and you know, God bless America and all that kind of stuff. Like they're throwing Him a little homage. You don't throw Him a little bit of homage. You throw Him homage by how you live, not by what you say. It's a strange country that you live in, but you know what's happened? What you're seeing transpire in front of your life, in front of your eyes, is simply a reflection of what's going on in our own lives. It's funny, we say God's first in our life until a boy comes along. Amen. Until a girl comes along. Until a job comes along. Until something that we desire more than Him comes along. You know why? Because our attitude is He'll always be there. We can pick Him up anytime we want. We can get to Him anytime we want. I mean, we are all familiar with eternal security. We know He'll never leave us and never forsake us. That's true in the salvation sense. But a lot of times we kick into the curb because we want something more than we want Him. That's a tragedy. You say, what's happening in the country? Forget about what's happening in the country. What's happening in the country is not your concern. What's happening in the schools? Not your concern. What's happening in the city government? Not your concern. What's happening in your life is your concern. What's happening in your brother's life? What's happening in your sister's life? Not your concern. How are you today? What's happening in your life? I want to ask you this morning, is Absalom on your throne or is the Lord there? Have you rejected the king? In Luke chapter number 19, a lot of people didn't reject Him. they accepted him as a king. And I preached this passage before, just give you a couple of things, and then I'm going to move right on through it. But in Luke chapter number 19, the Lord's coming in on the colt, the foal of an ass, and he's coming in there, an unbroken horse, never been rode before. And he jumps on that donkey, and he starts into the city, and people are taking off their coats and throwing them down, and palm leaves and throwing them down, and they're saying, Hosanna to the king. Some people didn't reject him as the king. Not everybody has to reject him. And you know who I think was in the crowd, and you've heard me preach that before about the boy with the five barley loaves and the two fishes. I think he was there. And the Bible says that the Pharisees came and said, listen, just shut up shouting. And the Lord's response to them was, if they don't worship me, if they don't praise me as the king, the rocks will cry out. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm committed to this. I don't want no rock doing my shouting.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That Bible says the trees will clap their hands. I don't want no tree clapping his hands louder than I can clap. And I don't want no mountain shedding no tears more than my tears come. The Bible says the mountains will cry out. I'm here to tell you, I don't want no cotton-picking doorpost in Isaiah chapter number 6. I don't want the doorpost moving when I ought to be the one to be moving. I don't want an inanimate object doing something that I ought to be doing. I want him to be the king of my life, and bless God, when he is and I see him show up, I'll take my coat off, take my reputation off, cut down anything that matters, throw it in his way and say, hey, let's worship the king. Let's give homage to the king. I want him to be the king in my life. I listen, not just to save me this morning. I want him to be in control. I want him to run my life. I want him to sit on the throne. I want him to take care of everything. Amen. Our problem nowadays is we claim he's king, but we don't ever give him the seat. Amen. He's rejected, despised, and rejected. Cast out. Nobody wants him. Blind Bartimaeus is probably there. There's just too many good preaching through there. I bet you them eyes are shining like stars at night, boy. I bet them old Pharisees came up there and said, what are you doing all this shouting about? How come you're doing all this hollering? How come you're doing all this screaming? He just says one thing. He says, listen, I was an old boy, blind beggar, sitting by the highway just a begging, and I was sitting there with my tin cup in my hand, and everybody gave me some alms, but nobody gave me Jesus. And so I came by, and Jesus said to me, what do you want, boy? And I said, I'm blind. I want to see. And he says, listen, the first thing you're going to see is me. And he said, boy, I've never forgotten. As soon as God opened my eyes and I was able to see, I've never forgotten the countenance of the one I saw.
Amen. Thank God.
Boy, if you really get a good dose of Jesus, you know what? You'll never forget it. It'll always be before your face. Listen, these are people that had physical infirmities that were taken care of, and they didn't have eternal security. These are people that even after God healed their physical infirmity, Jesus, or God manifested in the flesh in the body of Jesus, after He healed their infirmities, I'm telling you, they still had to walk right, talk right, and spit right. But one day, boy, He opened my blinded eyes where I was able to see. The grace of God came down there and He took care of me where I was blind and now I see. But guess what? I don't have to live it to keep it. What He did for me was more than something physical. You ought to be able to outshout somebody who got hooked up out of a hospital bed. You ought to be able to be more grateful than somebody that just had their peepers restored. That's a temporary thing. You ought to be able to walk taller and straighter than a lame man. You ought to be able to leap more. You say, why? Because they got something that was temporary, but you got something that was eternal. You got something that'll last forever. You got something. He bought you with a price. All He did was use a little bit of His grace, a little bit of His glory to heal a physical infirmity. But buddy, when He reached down to you, He shed His precious blood, poured Himself out right on Calvary to give you an eternal healing. I think He did more for you than He did for them. All He could do then, because of the time He was in, was just heal them up dispensationally in there. Little time frame. Physical frailties, physical infirmities. Thank God He did more for me than that. Secondly, come to 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, there's a lot of preaching in that right there. Listen, the next time He comes, the people that rejected Him, they won't see Him in the rapture. You know what they'll see Him? They'll see Him at the second coming of Christ. And they'll see Him in His great power and His glory. Listen, the first time a lamb, the second time a lion, the first time in swaddling clothes, the next time He comes with a vesture dipped in blood, the next time He comes, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding on a white stallion, coming down through the glories and stepping on the stars while He comes. And boy, He's got a sword proceeding out of His mouth and the righteousness of the saints following after Him. Hey, I'm telling you, the next time they see Him, He won't be a little lamb to be hung on a cross. He'll be a lion to be dealt with. Amen. Pray for liberty this morning. I feel a little bound up. Amen. Not quite able to preach just yet, but I'm starting to find the gear, starting to sort of feel a little tug. I'm starting to get out of this world, get into the next world, forget where I'm at, just get in the presence of God and let her rip, tear her chip. Amen. I was up yonder preaching in Washington and in Virginia last week. There's a fellow sitting over here, he forgot his glasses. And the guy said to him, he said, man, he said, he looks like he's going to bust. Something's wrong. Look how he says, all I see is like this big giant cherry with something dark on the top of it, and it looks like it's about to bust. I said, I was about to bust, man. I said, boy, when God gets a hold of you, you just forget where you're at. You preach so hard, you start seeing stars. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2, he's not only a rejected king, He's a righteous king. I love this point right here, so let me preach on it for a while. The Bible says, for even, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Woo. Boy, I could preach that, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed to Himself Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sin in His own body on the tree, that we, who's the we? Me and you. Anybody that'll admit they're lost. The Bible says, so that we, being dead to sin, should live right to righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. Look at that passage. He gave you something. You say, what did He give you? His righteousness. How do you know? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn there quick. You see, the problem is that people get to thinking that it's my righteousness. Listen, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Putrefying rags, leprous colored rags. Nasty, foul, nobody would want to touch them. I never one second claimed I was righteous enough or good enough to be saved, let alone be a preacher. Amen? You say, how are you getting there? Glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'm not basing it on my righteousness. I get His righteousness. I'm not basing it on my clothes. I get His clothes. I'm not clothed in my own filth. I'm clothed in His purity. I'm clothed in His perfection. Listen, I'm here to tell you today, it's not of works that I have done. It is everything that Jesus has done on Calvary's cross. Jesus died on the cross for me. You say, why? Listen, I know this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Really, I'm not the smartest fellow around. But I had enough sense to know that I didn't want to go to hell and burn forever. And I knew that when I was 7 years old. You say, yeah, but how have you been living since then? Don't never mind that. Don't talk about my salvation. My salvation was sure the day I bowed my head and bent my knees down in Miami, Florida by the dining room table on a Sunday morning just like it was yesterday. There was sweat coming off of that sweet iced tea glass. We'd have had roast beef and some taters and some English peas. I didn't feel much like eating. You say, wow, something was going on in my craw. Something was stirring me up. Daddy said, what's the matter with you, boy? I said, I don't feel so good, Daddy. I said, I was thinking about what you said. I don't want to go to hell and burn forever. He said, well, you can't do nothing about it yourself. And I said, well, I want to do something about it. He said, boy, you just got to trust Jesus. And I said, well, I want to. He said, good. Right here is good a place as any. Boy, I got me a meal that day. I'm still a feeding on. I'm still rejoicing in. It's stuck with me now for, Lord, I mean, almost 50 years. You say, why? He gave me something no man can give me. And He gave me something I can't get on my own. Amen. You know what righteousness means? It means to do right. I know, pretty simple. But you know me. Just keep it simple, stupid. I do this for my benefit. I know y'all are smarter than that. He'll do right according to salvation. He says, if you'll come unto me, I'll in no wise cast you out.
Yeah.
You're here today and you're lost. You say, preacher, you know the things I've done. No, and I don't want to know them.
Right.
You say, why? Because I'm not going to be beholden to you to tell you all the things I've done. All I know is I was guilty of deicide. I killed the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for my sins according to Scripture, was buried, and on the third day rose again from according to the Scripture. That Bible says, whosoever will come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. All you got to have is a humbleness of spirit, a humbleness in your heart, and you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, would you be merciful to me, a sinner? And He'll say, shh, I hear somebody speaking my language. Now, Lord, come and be merciful to me, a saint. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He says, everybody hush just a minute. I believe I hear somebody calling on me. Somebody picked up the phone. Bless God, it didn't have to go through the secretary. It didn't have to go through somebody in the front office. I mean, right into the throne room of God Almighty. He said, listen, man, I hear somebody a calling. There's a little 7-year-old boy down there. He said he's lost and he wants to get found. I'm going to put on my shepherd clothes. I'm going to get my shepherd staff. I'm going down yonder and get me another lamb for the flock. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care if you don't get excited about that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, what were you? I was a dog.
Yes, sir.
He turned me into a sheep.
Amen.
Sorry. He turned me into a sheep. Hallelujah. Say, what do you do now? I went from woof, woof to bah, bah. I went from thinking I was big enough and bad enough to scare them off, to thinking, if somebody don't take care of me, I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. Where did I tell you to turn to? Somewhere in the Bible, it's all good, ain't it?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1. Oh. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Listen. Did I even read that? Yeah, I did read that. See, what is wrong with your preacher? I'm glad you think there's something wrong with me. It really bothered me if you thought there was something right with me, amen. Romans chapter number 8. He's going to do right according to salvation. He's going to do right according to sin. Oh, I like this. You say, why? God can't have sin in His presence. So we're all condemned, right? Watch. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, you say there's hypocrites in the church. Plenty of room for one more. You say, how many got in here? A couple hundred. You say, here, you mean everybody? I mean everybody.
Amen.
Every one of us. Anybody here not a hypocrite? Okay, Jesus isn't here yet. All right? We're all hypocrites.
Right.
Listen, there's hypocrites in the church, fools. I don't get it. He's going to do right according to sin. You know what that means? That means that I'm going to be called into account for what I did. Unless I apply the Scripture. There is now no more condemnation. Isn't that what it says? Alright, give me the qualifier. Somebody in the Bible there? Brad, come on, read it to me. Thank God I had you speak out in the service. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Read it loud. Right here. Quick, I'm on a roll.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Wait, we got to back up. There's condemnation. Unless, here's the qualifier, you're in Christ.
Amen.
That means for me and for you that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I'll get up there to glory and God Almighty will say, hey boy, what are you doing up here? And I'll say, man, I'm here. He'll say, angel, get that book. And he'll open that book and he'll go, what happened to all them sins? And Jesus is standing over there saying, I got them. I got them. God says, hey, I'm fixing to judge you. Amen. He said, I'm going to judge him based on that. And he opens the book and he said, there ain't nothing here to judge you for. And Jesus over there grinning like the cat that ate the canary. He says, boy, you know anything about this guy? He said, I sure do. He said, where's his sin? He says, I got him. I brought him on Calvary's cross for him. There's now no more condemnation for them which are in him. Amen. You say, where are you? I'm in him.
and you can't take me out of Him. You can't talk me out of Him. You can't pluck me out of Him. You can't back me out of Him. You can't unscrew me out of Him. You can't yank me out of Him. You can't get some pliers and snatch me out of Him. I ain't a coming out. Why? I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I ain't just in His hand. I'm in His whole body. Amen.
Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, you're an idiot. Say, I never had no preacher talk to me that way. You're a fool, boy. You ain't got no sense. You say, I've never seen somebody have such a good time in my life. You ain't never been saved. Hey, I'm held to shout this morning. You know why? I can enjoy where I'm going. You say, why? No condemnation. When it comes to my salvation, I don't have to answer for that. You say, what happened? Took him to Calvary. Jesus says, what you want, boy? I said, Lord, I got this load of sin. I said, that cross looked pretty heavy to me. He said, yeah, pretty heavy. But ain't too heavy to bear your load. I said, Lord, I got a lot of sin. He said, all right, put it on me. Let's see if I can bear it. I came down there to Calvary's cross, bowed my knee. I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, please, I want you to save my soul. God, I got nothing to offer you. I'm just lost on my way to hell. Here's all I bring to you. It's just my sins, Lord. I got nothing else to bring, nothing else to give you. And I put that burden on the Lord. He never even shuddered. He never even moved. He said, hey, boy, is that all you got? I've got more grace than you got sin. My grace is greater than any sin you ever had. I'm here to tell you, I can bear the load for you. He never even buckled. He's like, well, you won't never have to bear that burden no more. Say, why? Because my burdens are lifted at Calvary. He's going to do right according to my sin. He's going to do right according to my salvation. He's going to do right according to our service. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 58. Turn there quick. You say, why do you keep going to Scripture? You've got to see it. Say, why? It's more important that you see it than I say it. Amen. Listen, you may not see much here. But can I tell you? He'll unload it on you when you get there. You might not see any reward here. But where it counts, God says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, down here sometimes it gets to be dull drudgery. Down here sometimes you feel like you're not recognized and you're forgotten. Down here it seems like every way that you go, every trouble that you have, that nobody recognizes you're serving God. Not a single one of us in here has not said, I pray, I go to church, I give, I do, and I got all these problems that are facing me. God says, listen man, I'm laying it up for you in a place where it don't count, brother. I'm here to tell you where it counts, brother. I'm here to tell you, you didn't get rid of the whole load up there. So I don't have nothing. God don't do that. He might have took a little bit, but He gave you a chance to get it back. If not, why bother? I believe that. If I had time today, I could show it to you from the Bible. I would go right away to the prodigal son. I just love that passage. You say, why? I've been right there. It says prodigal peacock. Amen. Because I like to use peas. And the prodigal peacock returned one day. He had his tail feathers tucked between his legs. He came in with his head down and his knees bent. He said, oh man, I've sinned against you, but I'm starving to death. I'm hungry. Just let me eat with the servants. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And you know what he said? He said, hey boy, you ain't never quit being my son. And I got a fresh robe for you. And I got a ring for you. I got some shoes for them feet of yours. Hey, listen, we're going to kill the fatted calf. You ain't going to just get bread and soup, man. I mean, you're going to get the full meal deal. Amen. And God will give you a chance to make it up. Redeeming the time. For the days are evil. A lot of years of doing the best you could. I'll tell you where you'd have lost it if you'd have stayed in the far country. Thank God you came back when you did. You wasn't gone long enough for anybody to hardly even miss you. Don't have time to turn here. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 12, he says he's going to do right according to your suffering. It won't just be your salvation. It won't just be your service. It won't just be sin. But some of you are suffering. Right? Having a hard time, right? Back pain, neck pain, head pain. I don't know who it is you're living with, but I know they can be a pain. Amen. Sometimes. Amen, ladies? Amen, ladies? That husband ain't always great. Don't be no liar this morning now. All liars find their place like a fire. Mess up my illustration. But you know what? Can't get it. I understand the principle. We suffer, we shall reign. I understand the principle. I understand that ministry comes from misery. I get it. That power comes from being pressed down. I understand that theologically. I understand it doctrinally. But practically, oh, I can't explain to you how some people are serving God and living for God and doing right for God and God cuts them out of here early. I don't understand why some of them are the ones that get the sickest. Some of them are the ones that wind up hurting the most and having the biggest amount of trouble. Listen, I'd like to be able to tell you I can do it doctrinally and theologically, but practically, I can't tell you. Some of you suffer. But God's going to do right according to that suffer.
Right.
He gave you a pass in the Bible and you want to write this down. He made you a promise according to that suffering. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, He says in there that if you suffer, honey, you'll also reign. I'm calling my wife, honey. So in case anybody in here visiting, what's he doing calling that blonde-headed woman, honey? She's my wife. Amen. You'd have been with me 30 years. You'd overlooking what she's overlooked. You'd call her honey too. Amen. Man, they're missing their chance to get on the boat. Thirdly, say how many points? 10. Not really. He's a rightful king. I got to give you this. Look in Revelation chapter number 5. He's not just righteous. He's rightful. You say, why? He redeemed the earth. He bought it and paid for it. You say, what did He pay for it with? His blood.
Yeah.
You mean He paid for this cursed earth? Yeah. And you on it. Amen. With a fire in the basement. Amen. And yet He still said, I'm going to buy it and pay for it. In Revelation 5, He says, I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Look at the back of that book you got in your hand. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming the loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, or under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look on. John says, the Lord says to him, John, I want you to look at something. And John's looking, and he says, you see that book? He said, I see it. And he says, there's all the answers contained in that thing. Everything that needs to be in there, the title, deed to the earth, is in that book. So we got to look under the earth. We got to look over the earth. We got to look in the earth. And we can't find anybody to find it. And John says, I wept much. Because the answer's in a book, but no man can open a book. Boy, can I park there. You ever get anything out of that book, it ain't because of a stupid preacher. It's because of the Holy Ghost of God. No man can open that book. That book is opened by the Holy Ghost of God. He's your God. He's your director. He's your teacher. He can open it to you the same way He opens it to me. There ain't nothing special about a preacher. He's just God's little hay boy. Just God's little errand boy. Just God's little servant. Just doing what God says to do. Hey, His power comes from God Almighty in the book that He's given to preach has nothing to do with a man. No man found worthy to open the book. Say, well, got all them theological degrees. That don't mean squat if God don't get in it. God don't take the words of a preacher's message and blow them in the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. They ain't squat. Wasted words and wasted time. No man can open that book. So preacher, you're a man. I'm a pipe. P-I-P-E. Pipe. Say, well, you're just a funnel. Listen, when you turn on your water this morning in the shower,
Did you pay any attention to the pipe behind the wall the water came from? Not unless it had a hole in it, you didn't. Amen? Say, what are you? I'm behind the wall just getting the water to come run out. Amen? A little too much ran out on Miss Robin a while ago. Notice what he says. One of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold the Lion, the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
The root of David hath prevailed. What's he here to do? Open the book.
Amen.
You say, why? Because he's the rightful king. Let me give you this. Look in verse chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy.
Amen.
He wants to qualify and make sure you know who the thou is.
Yeah.
O Lord,
amen,
to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What I'm here to tell you is he's a rightful king, and nobody else is worthy to open the book. Nobody else is worthy of glory. Nobody else is worthy of praise. Nobody else deserves any credit. I'm here to tell you today, if you're here today, it's by the grace of God. If you're breathing today, it's by God's grace. If you're looking today with your peepers, it's by God's grace. If you got clothes on your back, it's God that gave you those clothes. God put gasoline in your car. God gave you the car to drive. God gave you the family that you got. God gave you the job that you got. God gave you the school you go to. God gave you the mind that He gave you. Listen, you're here today as a testimony of how good God's been to you. Say, my Lord, man, how come these people shouting? Because God's been good to us. You say, I know people in your congregation lost everything. Houses are a mess. Families are busted up. Kids are in the ditch. I mean, all kind of stuff going on. You're telling me God's good? I'm telling you, God's good. Amen. I'm telling you, God don't make no mistakes. He's a reigning king. That is, if you let Him reign. Come to Revelation 21, and I'll be done. You say, how many under this? I got about 10 under this one, and I'll be done. I'm having too good a time to quit. If you need to go, if you're hungry, go ahead. But if you ain't, hang around just a little bit, and it's fixing to get good. In spite of the preacher. Say, what was all that other introduction?
Yeah.
Now I get to preach the message. I get on to these fellows all the time. I say, now your introduction is a little long. You didn't have no time to preach. So I say, preacher, you do that all the time. Yeah, but I've been here 20 years. I can do it. You might not be able to. I can make an introduction sound like a 3-point outline. Amen. Amen. Say, what is that? Just to deceive them so you can get to the main part of the message. I'm just kidding. Relax. This will help you.
Amen.
I believe it will. Honest with all my heart, I believe it will. I'm not here to put on a show this morning. I'm here to want to help you. And people in Israel, Brother Gene, they've been under Absalom for a while. He made them all these promises, kissed them in the gate, promised them everything. Man, if I'm the king, I'll hear your matters. I'm a king of the people. That's what Absalom was. Whatever you people want, I'll deliver. Man, I'll communicate with you. I'll talk with you. I mean, I'll be a king of the people. I'm the people's king. It's all about the people. 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 I'm here to give the people. The people. The people. The people what they want. Amen. That's what Absalom was. Absalom got killed in battle. Right? And then all people are like, man, you remember when King David was the king? Man. You remember the glow on that guy's face? I mean, that king could get in his chariot and hook up them white horses and he'd just come riding through the town sometime doing his business as all kings do. He'd be going up to the threshing floor of Ornan. He'd be driving up that pathway and man, that king would come by. Boy, it just felt like a wind just come blowing off of him. I mean, his countenance was lit up like somebody'd been in the presence of God. He always had a kind smile and soft eyes, yet he had a firm resolve to know what to do. Man, when we got scared, when our security was rocked, when the Philistines came against us, he didn't say, up in the house. He went out there to war, man. He killed giants himself. Boy, they got to missing King David. You know what they said? We ought to start noising it abroad and telling people we miss the king.
Yeah. Amen, bro.
Bible says they started talking about him, Kim. They said, hey man, remember King David? Wouldn't it be good if he came back? Man, maybe if we just talk about it enough, he'll just get wind of it and he'll want to come. Oh boy. Can't you feel this one coming on, man? Surely you can see it. They said, man, if we get to talking about it, and all of a sudden they got to talking about it so much, the king heard word of it. He says, hey, listen, Abathar, Zadok, let me ask you a question. He says, I hear all of the people, and they're asking me about coming back. They want to see my return. They want to hurry up and get me to come home. Let me ask you a question. How come the people are shouting and you ain't? That's what he says in the passage. And they said, oh, we miss you too, King. We sure would like for you to come home.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
The streets just ain't the same. Amen. Without you here.
Right.
David says, well, I don't know. They was in a big hurry to get rid of me for a new king. How do I know they want me to come back? You know what they said? They just started talking louder. King, we really want you to come home. We ain't got nothing to offer you. We're just liars. We've been unfaithful. We've been untrue. But you know what? We sure would like to see you on your throne again. We sure would like to see you back in Israel again. Watch. Revelation chapter number 21. Notice the Bible says this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth will pass away. No more sea. The first thing you got to understand is the sea will be gone when He comes back the next time. See, what is He? He's a returning king. See, why no more sea? No more separation between us and Him.
Amen.
No more storms.
Amen.
No more sorrows.
Yes.
No more sins.
Right. Amen.
See what? He don't need a sea to put them in. Now the sea here is talking about the one over your head.
Yeah.
He said he saw the holy city coming down like a bride adorned from heaven, out of God from heaven. You say, why? Because the sea's gone and every wicked thing and foul thing in it's done away with. There's no more separation between God and man. I mean, somebody must have stepped in and become a mediator. Somebody must have stepped in and given us a doorway to heaven. Somebody must have stepped in and redeemed me. Somebody must have stepped in and took God's hand and took my hand and pulled me in this way and said, God, I know you love me and they love me, so you're going to love him. And they put us together and reconciled us unto God. And that sea that no man can cross, that great divide no man can get across, Jesus stretched out his fingers on one hand and grabbed a hold of God and took his hand this way and grabbed a hold of a poor sinner like me. And he said, let me introduce you to my Father. I'll be your mediator. I'll be your go-between. I'll be the one that makes a way.
Yes,
no more sea. Say, man, that's pretty simplistic. Ain't seen nothing yet. The saints will be happy. Thus said, the saints will be happy. Not the sinners. I heard a great voice, verse 3, out of heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and they will be their God. Families reunited. Father residing. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Be no more death. Funerals are retired. No more slow walking and sad singing. Listen, it'll be more than just reunited with your family and more than just the Father residing over matters. The funerals will be retired and the faithful will be respected. He says to you that the saints ought to be happy. I'm telling you, that day's coming and it's right around the corner. It ain't going to be long. The Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that day is right around the corner. I'm talking about a returning king. Satan will be hushed up. Look at Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Look in the same passage at verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. I'm not bold enough to say, shut up, devil, because he's alive and well. I'm not going to move myself into his crosshairs by being stupid. But I'm telling you, one day, when the king returns, the Lord Himself is going to shut up that cotton-picking devil. He's going to be hushed. Satan is going to trouble you no more. Now, I know we all like to be spiritual,
We all like to say, you know, all the time, well, I don't know if I even get the devil's attention. Trust me, if you're saved, you get his attention. If you're just trying to do right, you get his attention. You're in another realm. You're in another world. You're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, rulers, darkness, high places. That's Ephesians chapter 6. You can look it up and check me. I quoted that one right. It was set without the commas. I'm here to tell you, I'll be glad when Satan is hushed up. But come on down, I got one more. Sinners have run out of time. Sinners are hopeless. You say, well, preacher, I thought you said y'all were sinners. Yeah, but we're saved sinners. The passage I'm fixing to read to you in verse number 8 is not me. You say, you're a liar. I said, I'm a Christian. And I'm a Christian that lies. But I ain't a liar no more. So you're a whoremonger. I might be a Christian that does stuff or done stuff I shouldn't do. But you can't label me that anymore. I'm a backslidden Christian. Y'all don't like it when it gets too close to the cotton. I'm just being real. But the fearful and unbelieving, you ever not believe God? You ever go through a trial and God says, Romans 8:28, well, know all things work together for good, then love God, then be called according to His purpose. Thank God I don't have to worry about the unbelieving there, because I've not believed it sometimes. And the abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Greatest idol we have today is us. We look at Him in the mirror every day. He ain't four-legged, He's two-legged. And we dance around Him. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, the second death. You say, why are they hopeless? They rejected the cross. I'm preaching to some of you here this morning and your loss is a golf ball in high weeds. And I know about that. I'm here to tell you there's some of you people that are here, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when I get to preaching on the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ and Him dying and taking your place on Calvary's cross, you say, that's a nice little story, preacher. Appreciate that. Wish you wouldn't get all worked up and everything, getting all in a sweat and getting a tizzy and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. And there's some of you that are here today and you're lost. You know what you're going to do? You're going to walk out without hope, without God, because you're so proud. You think you can stand burning in hell, which is hotter, and burning in the lake of fire, which is hotter than the sun itself, and you think you can pay for your own sins. Well, you're a fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, well, I believe there's a God. Oh, well, it's different than just believing there's a God. And believing in the Jesus Christ that'll take away your sins before God. The devils believe and tremble. You resist the Comforter. Reject the cross. Resist the Comforter. You see what happens? The Holy Spirit comes down here now. And He's dealing with some of you right now. You're lost. You know how I know? I can already see it. You're getting nervous. You were fine when I was on All the Christians. Right now, for me as a preacher, there's some of you with this thing going across the top of your head going, lost, 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 lost. You say, it's not so. You wait till we get to heaven. I'll show you. You're going to stand there at the great white throne judgment if you resist God and you don't trust Him as your Savior. You're going to stand there at the great white throne judgment. I'm already saved. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be standing on this side and I'm going to be looking at you and you're going to stand up there and you go, well, I didn't know. The Lord's going to go, peacock, come here. Yes, sir, Lord. He says, you down there on 28th, 29th, whatever the day is of March. Yes, sir, I was. Did you preach about sinners? Yes, sir, I did. Our chiefs, they rejected the cross and they resisted the Comforter. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you right now. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to nudge you. He's trying to tenderize you. He's trying to soften you. He say, listen, man, forget about your pride and forget about all the people. Get down there and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be secure. Amen. Doing all this stuff. Be a terrible thing to lose everything you got and lose your soul too. You know, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know what? Some of you have lost everything. You know what you're thinking? That ain't nothing compared to your soul. You may or may not get back everything you lost. I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not going to try to prophesy and tell you how it's going to be. I couldn't tell you. It may turn around tomorrow for all I know. But it may not. But you might lose your life. You might drop dead today. These policemen sitting in here, from the chief all the way down to the patrolman sitting in here, they'll all tell you. They see it all the time. People at untimely deaths. Car accidents. Just fall over, drop dead. Come in from running, the epitome of health, stroke out. Pop a vessel, boom, laying down there on the ground, chewing on their tongue. They're out, they're done, they're finished. It's over, you're finished. Well, I wasn't planning, I wasn't expecting, I wasn't, yeah, I know. But that's when it happens. You don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath. You didn't think about it last night when you were laying there sleeping, thinking, breathe breathe, 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 heart pump, heart pump, heart pump. You didn't think any of that. God did it for you. And when God says, listen, they can replace everything you got in your body, but there ain't no breath banks. But if you breathe your last breath, you know what's happening? You're done. You say, who fills the breath bank? God. And He don't put any in spare. He gives you what you got, and when He takes it, you're done. Notice, they not only reject the cross and resist the Comforter, but they refuse to confess that Jesus Christ is their Savior. They trust in everything else. Good person. Better than most. You wouldn't be in church today. Better than a bunch of thugs and heathens we got running the streets now. Really. Including the ones in Washington running the government. Including the ones here running your government. Including the ones running the banks and everything else. You're better than most of them. Probably honest. Probably relatively moral. Probably don't drink, smoke, cuss, and chew. You know, that kind of thing. Okay, great, wonderful. But you're stupid.
Right.
And I mean that in the literal sense. Because you know what you're doing? You're comparing yourself to the heathen in the world.
Right.
You're comparing yourself to lost and even backslidden Christians. But here's the problem. When you get up there to glory, the comparison is not going to be, well, I'm better than... Listen, you're a lot better than Attila the Hun, better than Hitler, you're better than all them. You're better than a lot of people that do business. I know people that are crooked as a dog's hind leg and they're saved, man. If they fell through a whole pile of coat hangers, they'd come out the other side without even being scathed. You could fall on a barrel of fish hooks and not get a hook in them. They're just crooked. They're just... And they're saved! They're just, you know, talking about, how am I doing this morning? You better not be looking at that for your salvation. You look to Jesus, you say, well, that's your comparison. When Jesus Christ comes down here, you know what He says? He says, whosoever will, let him come. Where? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Now, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to give an invitation. You say, well, it's late. I don't care. There's somebody here lost. You say, how do you know? It's tattooed on you. This may be your last opportunity. You say, oh, that preacher's been saying that. Go ahead, take your chance. I ain't that stupid. But you know what? I mean, I've been around the block a time or two. I've seen it happen a time or two. Enough to get my attention. You either learn by your own mistakes, you learn by the mistakes of others, or God's teach you. I've seen the mistakes of others prolong, thinking, you know, well, I'll have a chance. You ain't if you run up, the bus runs into you. You ain't if all of a sudden your heart stops. You ain't thinking Jesus when your heart stops. You're thinking, oh God, this hurts. You're thinking pain. You're not thinking, okay, now's the time. Lord, I pray you believe me. Buddy. You're under duress. You're fixing to go. Skin for skin, all of the man hath he gives for his life. I've watched some of these big old boys getting some of these tussles out here. I watched them go on the other end of that deal and start to pass from this life to the next and, you know, have a little talk with Jesus type thing. I'm telling you, people under that ain't praying, God save me, God save me, God save me. All they want is to get their life back, get their breath back. And some of you, you listen to me now if you hadn't heard nothing else I said. You listen to this preacher. You can always find fault with me or the brethren, but you won't never find fault with the one that will save you, Jesus Christ. He ever done anything to you? He's never done nothing to you except die for your dirty, rotten sins and give you a way out of hell. That's all He did for you. So, well, what's the big deal about that? He saved you an eternity burning forever. And so, all right. I know I'm a sinner. Okay, then you need a Savior. So what do I have to do? You trust Him. So, well, do I have to quit and stop right there? I don't care where you came from, what religion you came from, what denomination you came from. It's about one thing. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, period? Well, I have to quit this and quit this. And well, since I thought I got saved, but I didn't give up this habit and that habit and this habit. That has nothing to do with your salvation. And don't you ever let any preacher try to tell you that. I'm here to tell you that Bible says, just as you are, He'll take you. You just have to be willing to come in and say, what do you want? Oh, Lord, I want you to clean up my life. Out. Get out. Oh, Lord, I want to give you my filthy habits and I'm doing things I shouldn't do and I got to quit these filthy habits. Get out. Get out. Get out! Lord, I come to here because I want to live a better life and I need some help with some of the problems I'm dealing with. Get out! You say, what does He want you to do? Lord, I'm a sinner and I am going to hell just as sure as I'm standing here and I need a Savior. He'll say, come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. God will come in and sit down at your table this morning and he'll feed you like you've never been fed before. But you know what? You've got to be able to do open the door of your heart and say, Lord, I'm not giving you my life. Your life ain't worth giving to him. I'm not asking you to dedicate your life to Christ. You say, why? Because I know Christians. You can't dedicate your life to Christ. You don't even have it in control yourself. Amen. See, what am I doing? Lord, I'm here because I need to be saved. Amen. In that prison that time, I've told you, but it's a good story. I like it. Miss Pat, you come get ready to play. I want you to play, you probably already know, just as I am. In that prison, Brother Gene, Dr. Ruckman, he is a waxing eloquent boy. I mean, he's a preaching boy. He's a preaching machine. He got away from that board a little bit. He's smacking the board, man, and he's going at it. He's the 80s, man. And he's up there and he'd draw and he'd turn around. He'd go, boy, if I could just find me a sinner, I'd have a great message for him. He'd turn around like this and the guy says, me, I'm a sinner. And Doc stopped. He turned around and he said, okay, all right, well, I got a good message for you. Hang on just a second. He'd go back. He'd start drawing across a Calvary, boy, and he'd show the whip coming down. He'd say, this is for your sin, your transgression. This is your sin of this and sin of that. Boy, it's almost as if you could hear that whip singing across that air, man. I mean, singing the world's saddest song. I mean, it was real, boys, over in Madison. Man, that was so real. Then I'm sitting there, boy, I'm like, man, this is really getting good, boy. And he says, you know, fellas, he said, I'm going to tell you, the reason I'm not going to go is I got coverage. And here's the board. He steps over behind the board and it's got the Lord hanging up there on the cross like this, you know. That place came apart. And after they got through, they were standing on the pews and the correctional officers were kind of like, we're going to have a prison riot or something in here, man. I mean, they went absolutely crazy. And then he says, I told you, boys, if they're just, and he can get away with that, you know, because he's 80-something years old, he can call them boys. You know, I'd be like, men, gentlemen. You know, I mean, you're in a lockdown with him, man. And he says, boys, I got a mess. If I could just find me a sinner. And that guy says, I told you, I'm a sinner. I bet you that old boy's grandmama had been praying for him. I bet you that mama had been taking him back and forth to church, boy. And I bet you that boy's sitting there thinking, man, grandma told me about this, and grandma told me about this. And here comes some little 80-some-odd-year-old preacher by there, and he's up there drawing a picture of Christ. And he said, you know something? I'm just looking for a sinner. He said, you know what? If I could just find a sinner. He said, all the good people are out there. He said, what I need is to find somebody that's willing to admit. He said, I'm a sinner. He said, brother, get a hold of that guy and get him down here. He shut that thing down. He came down off that platform. He got a hold of a Bible. He got out on his knee in front of that guy. And he starts going like this. And he's flipping those pages. He's having the guy read it like that. And the guy's a slow reader. And there's a fellow up there playing on the piano. And he's reading. But you can hear him. He's reading it loud, boy. And Doc says to him, now, do you want to get saved? He said, I told you I did. What do I got to do? He says, you get out here on your knees. Boy, that guy hit that floor, man. I mean, lickety split. And got out in there. And as soon as he did, man, it was as if all of a sudden the logs broke loose in that jam. I thought I was going to get stampeded. I mean, all of a sudden, boy, them aisles started filling up. And then boys started coming out on the aisleways down the middle and down the outside. And I mean, they literally just flooded the altar and just wept and cried. And all I could see, because I had moved to the back of the room, all I could see was all of these men up here. And it was like Jesus' arms were as big as that whole room. And they were stretched out up there on that cross. And he's turned down like this. And I know this didn't happen. And so don't put this out and think that but it's almost as if the Lord just sort of grinned and said, Father, here's another bunch. Forgive them, Lord. They come to me as a sinner. And it's as if he just took them arms and just sort of pulled it out of this side and pulled it out of this side. And he reached down there and he says, come here, boys. And he just hugged them up like that.
Thank God.
He said, Preacher, you're an idiot. Whatever. It was real to me. You say, where were you? I'd done worked my way from the back. I was right down there underneath that picture. He said, yeah, but you were one of the ones that was there. Who cares, man? You think I was going to miss that? Lord, here I am just... But you know, I know what you did for me, and I sure do appreciate it. And I'm just numbering myself among the transgressors, Lord, because difference in them and me is, if they got caught, I didn't. Lord, glory to God, I sure am glad you have put all my sin under the blood. And I thought I was going to have a fit.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're a sinner, I got a good message for you. Jesus died for you. He'll save you. Two stanzas. Nobody comes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody comes. Two stanzas. God spoke to your heart. Christian, saved, are lost. Come now. Nobody comes. Two stanzas, we're going to close. God spoke to you. You're out of fellowship with the Lord? Come now. The Lord will put you back in fellowship. Things aren't what they ought to be? Come now. Reason them out with God. He'll help you. People are coming. Come on, make your way. Don't wait. Don't wait. The Lord's coming back. He's coming back soon. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, would you just do this? Would you just bow your head as these people continue to come? Will you just bow your head and say, Preacher, I know this. I know for a fact that I'm not saved. And Preacher, I just want to be honest with you. Now listen, I'm not going to embarrass you and I ain't going to call you down here. I don't care if any preacher's pulled that joke on you before. I ain't. But listen to me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, Preacher, I know one thing. I do not want to go to hell when I die. And will you just please pray for me? That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed. Please, nobody looking around. Nobody but the preacher. Now I want to ask you, if that's you today, would you just slip your hand up real quick and put it back down? Just slip your hand up and say, Preacher, I just know one thing. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to make sure. I know you're skeptical of preachers. You're probably scared, slapped to death, thinking I'm going to call you down, but I'm not. Just slip your hand up.